Well, good morning on this lovely New Year's Day.
Morning.
What is it? Hail and farewell. Hail to the new, farewell to the old. Well, the old's still here by the look of it. But isn't that good? And we have the Word of God, which we're going to turn to now. And we're going to read one of the most wonderful passages in the Scriptures. If nothing else, I just hope you go away and say, I want to read that again. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and it reads, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Did you hear that word, all? All the way through that, all. Remember that, remember that. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Let's pray. Father, we are incredibly grateful to you that you've given us your word in which you show us your most wonderful gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thrill us, Lord, with your word today, that we may have a greater vision of Jesus, a greater understanding of all that he is, all that he has done. Bless us, we pray this day. Amen.
Amen.
There we are. Jesus is Lord. The first Christians did not say, as these days many people coming to faith are taught to receive Jesus as their Saviour. They said they received Jesus as Lord. And that's what Colossians 2 verse 6 says. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. This is the key verse for the book of Colossians, if you want to read through Colossians today. This is the key verse. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You received him as Lord, and that's how you are to go on living your life. He is Lord of your life. Lord for the years. We sang all the way through that, all that song. You live under his lordship. You live under his rule. Now, in our covenant renewal later this morning, I'll be asking you to say and to mean these words. I confess that Jesus is Lord. And our passage this morning gives us several stunning insights into what it means that Jesus is Lord. It presents us with a magnificent panorama of Jesus' unique significance from eternity to eternity, from heaven to earth and back to heaven. And there's one idea holds all the rest together, and it is this word, supremacy. Preeminence. Jesus is the supreme one, the preeminent one, the unrivaled one. It's there in verse 18. The whole purpose of this passage says, so that in everything he, that's Jesus, might have the supremacy. Look, if you choose to go to sleep on me for the rest of this address, wake up with this thought in your mind, that Jesus as Lord is supreme in everything. Have you got that? Do you want to say that before I go on? Jesus as Lord is supreme in everything. Never to be contested, never to be disputed, to be accepted totally by those who know and love him. Jesus, the image and fullness of God. We've got these words. We start with this incredible claim in verse 15. Look at these words. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, immortal, invisible, we sang. The invisible God. Jesus, the man, is the image of the invisible God. He enables us to see the God we cannot see. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, we sang. We can't see God. He is spirit. But we see him in Jesus. Now, the ancient world was used to images, so are we. But let's be clear what this means. Think of the Queen. There are statues of the Queen. Queen's head appears on coins. Queen's head appears on stamps. There are photographs of the Queen. There are portraits of the Queen. And we say such things are images. They resemble the real thing, but we all know they are not real. The Queen's head on a stamp is not real. That's not really the Queen. Ah, but it is a likeness. It is a likeness. It's in paper. It's in film. It's in metal. These things are images. They are likenesses, but they're not the real thing. They are not living. But the man Jesus is the way the invisible God is made visible. Notice, he's not like God. He's not similar to God in some way. He is God expressed in human form. That's what we get in verse 19. God was pleased. God decided. This is what was God's plan, pleasure, and purpose. He decided. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus. All that God is fully there in Jesus. As Hebrews 1:3 puts it, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Those of you who are sitting near a radiator, you know what that means. Coming from the radiator is what the radiator is, heat. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Notice it is God's being, God's very self, not simply what God looks like the little boy who was seen by his teacher drawing a picture, and he said, the teacher said, "What is that?" He said, "That's God." And he says, "But no one knows what God looks like." He says, "They will when they see this." The exact representation of his being. Do you remember Jesus' words? These staggering words, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He's saying, look at me and you see God. Isn't that staggering? Isn't that staggering? The reality of God, the invisible God, the eternal God, is seen in time, in human flesh, in all its fullness, in the Jesus, the Jewish carpenter. Isn't that staggering? It's a staggering claim. And notice, this is not a claim to reveal something about God. Jesus is not just another prophet with some insight into God. He is the full and final revelation of the very being of God. Now, this puts the Bible on collision course with every other human religion. How do we know what God is like? They all try to tell you that. What does Christianity say? Look at God. Jesus. We know when films boast Daniel Craig is James Bond. We know that's not true. We know that's just not true. But that Jesus is God come among us in human flesh is the great truth that sets Christianity apart from all others. When you confess Jesus is Lord, you are declaring the mighty, awesome truth that Jesus is both fully human, the man, Christ Jesus, and fully God, the image of the invisible God. And how should you respond to that great and awesome truth? Worship, honor, and adore Jesus Christ. Jesus, the firstborn, the agent of creation, the owner, the ruler, and sustainer of all things. My word, there's a lot there. The word firstborn in the Old Testament meant, most obviously, there, the first male child to be born in the family. But it also has a much richer, deeper meaning. According to Deuteronomy 21, verse 15 following, the firstborn son has greater rights of inheritance, and he cannot lose that. He has a double inheritance over all his brothers and sisters because he has a special relationship to his father. Now, in that respect, it's we might find this a bit difficult, but it's a phrase that says, it is a sign, he is a sign of his father's strength. There is that special relationship between the father and his firstborn son. The firstborn is the firstborn in time, yes, but also, and more importantly, in rank, in honor, and distinction. So you've got these two ideas in firstborn. First in order of time, but first in rank and distinction. And that's the meaning which comes to the fore more often in later scriptures. For instance, Moses, there we are, Moses told Pharaoh, Israel, the nation of Israel, is my firstborn son. But look, Israel was not the first nation that God called into being. So the issue of firstborn there is not about time, but about relationship. The nation of Israel had a special, a unique relationship with God that is way above all the relationship all other nations have ever had. Go into Psalm 89, and God says this about Israel's great king, David. I will appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. Now notice that most exalted. Do you see that? He is the king above all kings. David was supreme. But he wasn't the first king of Israel, was he? Because Saul was Israel's first king. David stands apart from all other kings because he has that special relationship with God. Firstborn here in both these, then, says, is not a matter of time, but of a special relationship and rank. Both Israel and King David. Jesus then stands apart from all creation, head and shoulders. He is not part of creation. He is the firstborn of creation. Got the idea of firstborn? In the idea of firstborn, the firstborn has the inheritance. So Jesus here is the ruler. He is the heir, he is the owner of creation. Indeed, he is the agent of creation. Notice that all things have been created through him. Oh, my word. Look what comes next. And for him. For him. Why is everything here? Why does this universe exist? The staggering declaration we have here in Christianity is that Jesus is the owner of this universe. He's not a second God. Paul, as a very, very Orthodox Jew would never say there was another God equal with the God of the Bible. No, no, what we see here is the beginning of what later came to be known as the Trinity. I know Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. That's true, but the idea does. And here's where you start to see it. Here's where you start to see it. One God in three persons, Father and Son. We'll have to move on to somewhere else to discover about the Holy Spirit, but Father and Son. And it doesn't stop there. Do you notice he is before all things? He existed before everything. And he is superior to everything. Those are two ideas I think are there in the word before. But look at those words. And in him all things hold together. Why doesn't the world stop? The amazing answer here is because Jesus keeps it going. Why do processes on earth keep happening, like gravity, like plants taking in carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen? When do they continue? Because Jesus keeps them going. Jesus is Lord of creation in its beginning, and he is Lord of creation now, even at this moment. If you are breathing, who do you thank for that breath? Jesus Christ. This is a truly extraordinary claim. But if you look, if you read carefully, this isn't the only place where this sort of thing is said. The universe exists through and for the Jewish carpenter and is under the controlling, ruling power of the one who is the image of the invisible. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you are declaring that Jesus is supreme as the agent of creation, the owner, the ruler, and the sustainer of the universe. Isn't this magnificent? And your proper response is to give him your first loyalty. Loyalty to Jesus Christ first and foremost. Trusting and obeying him willingly and gratefully. If you know Jesus Christ, you want to please him, you want to obey him, you want to be joyful in him, you want to be thankful to him. Now the next one. Jesus, firstborn of the dead and head of the church. There it is. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Just as Jesus was the means by which creation came into being and its ruler, so he is the creator and ruler of the new creation. Look what's said about him in the church, which is the wonderful expression of the new creation. He brought the church into being. It is his body. He is the ruler. He is its head. That's what the head means there. He is supreme in the church. He is preeminent. Jesus is the beginning of the new creation. Do you know that phrase, that saying, if any man be in Christ, he is new creation. It started, it's not there yet. Yes, he was first to rise from the dead. But his resurrection is unique. All other resurrection comes from his resurrection. There can be no other resurrection to touch his ever. His resurrection sets him apart over the new creation. And notice again, do you see that phrase, firstborn? Firstborn from among the dead. First in time, yes, but he is the preeminent one. He is the heir. He is the ruler of those who will rise from the dead on the last day. That's the beginning. He's the beginning of the new creation. In everything, he has the supremacy. There is no rival to Jesus anywhere in anything. So when you confess Jesus as Lord, you are declaring that he is supreme as the creator of the new creation, which will one day, at the end of history, be revealed in the new heavens and the new earth, where you will live in absolute perfection for eternity. So your proper response, I suggest, is to rejoice in the wonderful hope and the future you now have. Jesus, reconciliation and peace through the cross. God created the universe by his word. Read John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the Trinity beginning again. Jesus was the Word, and the first creation came into being through Jesus. It was spoken into being. But Jesus brought the new creation into being by his death on the cross. And the death of Jesus speaks not just to us, but to the whole universe. Have I got something missing there, have I? No? I'll go back. Speaks to the whole universe. You see, the rebellion of Adam and Eve didn't just affect human beings. It did. It brought sin and death and evil into the world. But it put the whole of creation out of joint. Paul says that creation was subjected to futility by God. This sin coming into the world has had disastrous consequences for the whole universe. It does not work perfectly as God intended. Amazing, isn't it? Wonderful, isn't it? But it's still not as good as God intended it to be. But Jesus, the image, the first fullness, the firstborn, will be the one who restores harmony and brings it all back to the glorious perfection God always intended for it. And the way he did it was by dying on the cross. The cross is incredibly important. The cross, Jesus' death on the cross, the image, the fullness, the firstborn, dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world was just so staggering. That was the crucial first step in the restoration of all things. Because look, here's God's plan all along. And it's far greater than saving human beings from their sin. God was pleased through him, that's Jesus, to reconcile to himself, that's God, all things, yet again that word all, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The cross, the death of his beloved son, was at the heart of God's purposes right from before the beginning of time. It is the ultimate symbol of God's love for his world and his way of reconciling everything and bringing peace. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you are declaring that by his death on the cross, he is supreme in bringing peace, reconciliation, harmony, and restoration, not only to you, but to the whole universe. And your proper response is to be caught up, I suggest, in wonder, love, and praise. I know that's from a hymn, but I can't think which one it is. So let's look at a summary of what we've been thinking about this morning. When you confess Jesus is Lord, you are declaring these great truths, that Jesus is both fully human. He is supreme in being both fully human and fully God. He is the agent of creation. He is the owner, the ruler, and sustainer of the universe. He is the creator of the new creation, which will one day, at the end of history, be revealed in the new heavens and the new earth. He is the bringer of peace, reconciliation, harmony, and restoration to you and the whole universe. Amen. When you say Jesus is Lord, try to remember, put some of this in there as you say it. And then look at the proper responses I'm suggesting that you make, that you worship, honor, and adore Jesus Christ, that you give him your first loyalty, that you trust him, you obey him willingly and gratefully, that you rejoice in the wonderful hope and future he brings you, and that you are caught up in wonder, love, and praise. So the big question is, have you received Jesus as Lord? If you have, don't be afraid to declare it. And continue to live your life with him as Lord and Master. Live for him who made you and saved you and reconciled you to God by his costly death and has brought you peace, joy, and love in God. If you haven't, make sure you do, and quickly. It's the most important thing you'll ever do.